We're starting with the Mishnah on Daf Terem with Aleph. Bechamay Omrim, Ein Molochim Et HaSulam Mishovach L'Shovach. Now let him move the ladder from one dovecote to the other dovecote. Avmateu Mechalon L'Chanon. But you can move it or shift it slightly to move from windows within the dovecote. Dovecote has multiple windows. Then you have multiple dovecotes. So you're not allowed to move it from dovecote to dovecote, but you can move it or tilt it within a single dovecote. Beit Hillel Matirim. The other hand, Beit Hillel says it's totally fine. You know, if you go to Beit Guvrin, you can actually build them out of wood and just make a large, like a big birdhouse. But a dovecote is basically holes where the doves can sit. Doves here probably is used more loosely. It's not doves in the sense of, like we think in modern times, a dove. Their time, the pigeon might have been more along the lines of what we're speaking about here. Because if you go to Beit Guvrin and you look at the quote-unquote dovecotes in Beit Guvrin, those are for pigeons, and they group for pigeons. We know in the Mikdash, when we talk about the Torim and the Bnei Yonah, there it's not clear that we're talking about doves either. It might be that we're talking about pigeons as well over there. And they were used. The pigeons were used both for korbanot, they were used for eating, communication. So there was reason to domesticate them. That's probably what we're speaking about here in the dovecotes. The Shavak is a whole dovecote. A chalon is within a single dovecote, you have multiple holes or multiple windows in which each pair of pigeons takes a chalon, has their own little bedroom. It's like bedrooms in a house. That's the equivalent of chalonot inside of a shovach. Yeah, a shovach is a large thing. It's not like a single birdhouse on a post. Even if it's on a post, it's got multiple holes in it. And so if you have a ladder already leaning on it, to simply tilt it or move it slightly to get to the other windows is not a problem. You don't have to lift the whole ladder out. You can just shift it a little bit over and you can get to the other chalonot. Now we're assuming here that we're talking about a ladder that is miyuchad to be for shovachim. It's a dovecote ladder. And therefore it's obvious that when one's carrying it around that the reason that you're carrying it is for dovecotes because there's no other reason to carry such a ladder around. Beit Shammai, on the other hand, says that the reason that it's asur here, even though he's taking the gozlut for Simchat Yom Tov, we'll see in the Gemara why they think that there's still a problem. Am Rav Chanan bar Ami, machloket birshut rabim. Machloket here is only when you're taking this into the public domain. The Beit Shammai savrei hore'e omer latiach gagohu tzarich. The person who sees him walking around is going to think that he's taking it to plaster to fix his roof. Til savrei shovcho mochiach alav. That it's obvious from the ladder that you're going to deal with a shovach. This is a dovecote ladder, and therefore people aren't going to suspect you. Avo b'shuta yachid, when you're in your private domain, diriyakol mutar. Even Beit Shammai would agree that it's permissible within your private domain because it's a ladder of a shovach, and you're not exposing yourself to the public, so therefore there's no issue. So according to Rav Chanan, the whole question here is a question of marat ayin. In the truth, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel both agree that Shovcho Mochiach Alav, or the ladder is Mochiach, that it's a ladder of a Shovach, and therefore there's no problem halachically with this ladder. The only question is, when you traverse the Reshut HaRabim with such a ladder, do people have suspicions about what you're going to use this ladder for? Beit Shammai says, yes, even though it's a ladder of a Shovach, once you bring it into Reshut HaRabim, then it starts to be questionable. Maybe people think you're going to do work with it, you're going to do something untoward with it. As Beit Hillel says, it's not a problem because the ladder is a ladder of shovach, and people will give you the benefit of the doubt. Is that really true? Once the chamim determined that there's a problem in doing something because of the suspicions that will arise from others seeing you what you're doing, we do not differentiate between whether you do this in public or you do it in private. Once we have made it asur, we make it asur across the board. We don't say, okay, well, if you hide from people, it's okay. If you do it in public, it's not okay. No, it's not okay, period. Now, why that's a problem for Rav Chanan? Rav Chanan is an Amora, and so is Rav. Rav's also an Amora. So fine, Rav Chanan argues on Rav. He's arguing on Amora. Rashi says something interesting. He says that because Rav was the Rabban Shokol Bnei Bavel. Rav was considered to be the central figure, almost the father figure of Bavel and the Amoraim of Bavel. Right, the equivalent of what would have been the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, we look at him as if he is untouchable in that sense that you won't have in a second generation, a third generation Amora arguing on Rav necessarily. Either they have to have a Tana that holds like them or following Shmuel's opinion. Shmuel, who is a peer to Rav, has that ability to argue on Rav. And therefore, if you have Shmuel on your side, then you're okay. Or obviously, if you have one of the Moraim of Eretz Yisrael, or Rabbi Yochanan, who would argue on Rav, who is, again, a peer of Rav's. But within Bavel, the fact that Rav Chanan is willing to argue on Rav is not necessarily, we call, proper etiquette or acceptable, and that's why the Gemara is questioning Rav Chanan's position based on the fact that Rav says that that would not be the case. So the answer is Tanaehi. It is a machloket Tanaim, meaning that Rav Chanan says, I have support from a Tana. If I have support from a Tana, then I can argue on Rav, which is the Tanya. Shulchan bechama avalo keneged ha'am. Person who traversed a river on Shabbat, his clothing became soaked in water, and now he wants to dry his clothing out. So you're allowed to put him out in the sun to dry, assuming that you don't put him facing the Am, meaning that it's not clear to other people that you have them out there. People can't see that you've hung out your clothing to dry. Our fear is that if people see the clothing out there dry, they think you just laundered your clothing, and you're drying them out on the line. So as long as you can dry them without other people seeing it, it's fine. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Osrim, they say it's Asur. So the assumption here being that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who are Osir, say it's irrespective of where it is. It doesn't matter if it's in the public eye or it's not in the public eye. You're not allowed to put your clothing that's wet hanging out because people are going to think that you laundered. Whereas the Tana Kama differentiates between whether the public can see it or whether it cannot be seen in private. So Rav is similar to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who say that there is no dispensation when it's private. Whereas the Tana Kama says it's a difference between private and public. And Rav Chanan is going to say, I subscribe to the Tana Kama's position. Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, but I have Tanaic support for my position, and therefore I don't have to worry about the fact that Rav says otherwise. Ike de Amre, some suggest that Rav Chanan's qualification of our mission was like this. Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami machloket birshuta yachid. Chloket is in the private domain. The Beit Shammai itluhu de Rav Yehuda Marav. Beit Shammai holds like Rav Yehuda Marav. Beit Hillel leilu de Rav Yehuda Marav. And Beit Hillel does not subscribe to Rav Yehuda Marav, meaning that Beit Shammai says it's asur both in the private domain and the public domain. Whereas Beit Hillel says it's asur in the public domain, but mutar in the private domain. How can you have that differentiation? Well, they don't hold like Rav Yehuda Marav. Aval b'shuta rabim divrei hakol asur. Everybody agrees in the public domain that you can't take it out. Gemara says, Lema Rav, damar ke Beit Shammai. We're reading this according to Rashi. Tosafot quotes Rashi as well. Rashi says over here, this question is not on Rav, this question is on Rav Chanan. Rav Chanan, who is establishing the Mishnah now this way, is saying that Rav holds like Beit Shammai. Now, why would Rav set up his position or make a statement that follows the position of Beit Shammai? Beit Shammai is lot the halacha. So why would Rav make a statement that ends up not being the halacha? He would obviously say it within the position of Beit Hillel, not in the position of Beit Shammai. So the challenge to Rav Chanan is, you set it up nicely, but you basically set it up that your position is in Beit Hillel, and Rav's position in Beit Shammai, and that doesn't make so much sense. He says, Tanayehi, Rav Chanan will say that it is actually a machloket Tanaim, detanya shotkan bechama, velo keneged ha'am, Rav Elazar v'Rav Shimon osrim. So we have another writer that tells us otherwise, which is that the Tana Kama believes you can differentiate between public and non-public, whereas Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon are osir. So it's not necessarily that Rav is subscribing to Beit Shammai's position, rather, that Rav is subscribing to this position of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. All I'm saying is that I have support, or Tanaic support, for this understanding that there's a machloket b'shuta yachid, and that Beit Hillel can hold like the Tana Kama, and Rav can hold like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So then, what Rav will say is, I subscribe to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and therefore I'll explain Beit Hillel differently than you, which is, Rav Chanan will say that I think Beit Hillel says Birshuta Yachid Mutar, Birshuta Rabim Asur, and I'm following the Tana Kama of the Braita about Shulchan Bechama. And Rav will say no, Beit Hillel is Matir, Ben Birshuta Yachid, Ben Birshuta Rabim, against Rav Chanan, and he holds like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, that you have to be consistent, you can't be inconsistent. So Rav will, in the end, create a situation in which Beit Hillel follows his opinion, because he will read our Mishnah differently than Rav Chanan. Rav Chanan say, look, I have ample support for my position, because I can set this up as a machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai, with Beit Hillel being like me, that I can differentiate, and that's supported by a Tana in the Tana Kama and the Braita from Shulchan Bechama. Rav will disagree with me, you're right. Rav will say that our Mishnah, even Beit Hillel says it's mutar both in Reshut Rabim and Reshut Yachid, because he follows Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And now the Gemara says, Matnitan Taloki Hai Tana. Our Mishnah does not follow the position of this Tana, Tatanya. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Mudim Beit Shemayu Beit Hillel, Shmolichim et Asulam Mishovach L'Shovach. That both Beit Shemayu and Beit Hillel agree that you can move a Sulam from Dovko to Dovko. L'Nechogu Elalach Zir. The only prior question they had is about taking it back afterwards. I mean, you can take it to the Shovach and utilize it, but you can't, once you finish with it, then take it and put it away or bring it back. L'Nechogu Beit Shemayu Mime Machzirin. Beit Shemayu says you can't return it. Tilamim af machzirin. Even returning it is permitted. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, b'medvarim amurim. When is that true? B'sulam shel shovach. That's only when it's a dovekot ladder. Aval b'sulam shel aliyah. We're talking about a, more like a staircase, but a sulam that is much more solid and is used to ascend to the upper level of the house. Divrei akol asur. In that case, everybody agrees that it's problematic because there, if you're carrying around that ladder, then people are going to think that you're using it to fix your roof. Or do something more significant. People don't carry around those types of ladders to get to their dovecotes. Ridoso Omer, Mateo mi chalon de chalon. He can move it from window to window. Acharim omim isher bedosaf medadin bo. You not only can you just slide it a little bit from window to window, you can actually walk the ladder from window to window. Walking the ladder, if you, instead of lifting it off the ground, you rock it back and forth and move it. According to Achim and Rabbi Dosa, that is permitted. What's not clear in this braita that we just quoted is Rabbi Yehuda's position and Rabbi Dosa's position, how do they relate to the positions before them? We have a statement of the Tanakhama, which is clear. Then we have a qualifying statement by Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Dosa also makes a statement. What are they referencing as their starting point to say that either they disagree or they agree? They might be agreeing, just qualifying. They might be disagreeing, but what do they disagree about? That is what the Gemara is going to discuss now. That B'nai Rabbi Chia, the sons of Rabbi Chia, Yehuda, B'chizkia, the sons of Rabbi Chia, Nafuk L'Keriyata, they went out to the fields, to the villages, to go see their fields, or go to see their dovecotes. Kiatu, when they returned, Amar Lahu Avuon, their father said to them, Klum Maseh Ba'yalitchem, did you get any shilas? While you're out there, did anybody ask you any halachic questions? Amru lo, sulam bali adenu. We had a case with a ladder, v'iternuhu, and we permitted it. Amalhem, tsu'u, v'asru mashitartem. You go back and tell the people that you said it was mutartu, that it was asur. Inhu savur, what did they think? Mika amar Rabbi Yehuda b'sulam shel aliyah lo plige. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda says that with regards to a sulam of aliyah, they don't argue. Michlal, de tanakama savur plige. They thought that meant that Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama are arguing, and Rabbi Yehuda's qualification is not defining the Tanakhama statement, but rather disagreeing with the Tanakhama statement. And in disagreeing with the Tanakhama statement, he says that there is no machloket about a sulam shel aliyah. Everybody thinks it's a sur. That means that the Tanakhama believes that it's subject to the machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, and therefore according to Beit Hillel, it would be mutar to move around a sulam shel aliyah. So this is a case, this case out in the villages that B'nai Rabbi Chia faced. It's a case of a sulam shel aliyah that someone wanted to use to get to their dovecote. They said, fine. We passed them like the Tanakhama. Velohi, but Rabbi Chia says back to them, that's not correct. Yehuda tamei de Tanakhama kamifarish. Yehuda is qualifying, explaining the position of the Tanakhama. He's not arguing on the Tanakhama. When he says, b'meh dvarim amurim, he says, that's what the Tanakhama believes. Tanakhama believes it's only true by a ladder of a shovah, by a ladder of an aliyah, no go. Even according to the Tanakhama. Mimai. How does Rabbi Chia know that his interpretation is better than the interpretation of his sons? Truthfully, it's even more problematic than his son's interpretation based on the fact that Rabbi Yehuda appears in the Mishnah in different cases or different situations, and he uses different phrases to put his position in or to explain his position. And as Tosafot points out, v'hakom akom detani b'meh lachlok, whenever Rabbi Yehuda says b'meh dvarim amurim, the Gemara concludes that means that he argues on the position beforehand. So really, the Bnei Rabbi Chia make a lot more sense here to say that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing and not qualifying. Rabbi Chia really has to have strong reason why he doesn't subscribe to that. Now Tosafot differentiates and says maybe that statement of the Gemara is only true by Mishnayot. It says b'med varim amurim, that in the Mishnah, that means that he's arguing on the Tanakhama. But here it's a Braita, and maybe that rule is not applicable here by a Braita. Nevertheless, what is the reasoning behind Rabbi Chia's position? It tells you, let's move the ladder from dovecote to dovecote. If you think we're talking about a ladder that is not designated for dovecotes, that's where they argue. Hi, Moluchin, et asulam mishovach l'shovach. Right, they should not have said that you're moving the ladder from dovecoat to dovecoat. Other, Moluchin et asulam l'shovach. You're taking the ladder to the dovecotes. Because if it's a ladder of an aliyah, that means that it's somewhere else. It's somewhere else, and you're bringing it to utilize it by the shovach. You're not moving, it's not moving it from one birdcote to the other birdcote. It's moving it from wherever it's stored or wherever it is right now to the dovecotes in general. The fact that the bright talks about moving from dovecote to dovecote makes it sound like we're talking about a ladder of the shovach. And the ladder of the shovach can be moved from one to the other. And that's why Rabbi Chiya believes that Rabbi Yehuda's position is qualifying the Tanakhama and not arguing on the Tanakhama. The law of Hachi Kamar, isn't this what Breita means? Shoshovach in, shal aliyah lo. That shovach works, aliyah doesn't work, even according to the Tanakhama. The Ve'idach. Well then, what did the B'nai Rabbi Chiya think? Rabbi Chiya's position or diuk is a pretty strong diuk. It says, Miktani sulam shoshovach. The Breita doesn't say that this is a ladder of the dovecote. Mishovach l'shovach tani. It's telling you can move it from one dovecote to the other dovecote. Vafilu l'kama shovachim. Even to multiple dovecotes. So all the Breita tells you is, Mishovach to Shovach tells you that not only can you move it to the first one, you can move it from one to the next, which is the Chiddush of the Breita. And that's why it uses that type of Lashon to tell you not only can you bring it to the first one, but you can move it beyond that. And we don't say it can go to the first Dovecote, get what you need. No, we say you can move it from one to the next, and that's still permitted on Yom Tov. So that's how the B'nai Rabbi Chiya explained their reasoning why they think the Tanakhama might still argue on Rabbi Yehuda, even though he's talking about Mishovach L'Shovach. Hikedam, right? Some say that this was the question that arose. Amar lo, hitui sulam shel aliyah bali yadeinu. It was a sulam shel aliyah, and we were asked whether you can be matet. Can you move it slightly without taking it off the ground? Can you shift it or switch directions with it? Without actually taking it off the ground. Vihitar nuhu, and we permitted it. Amar lehem, tsuva asru mashiyadartem, go back, tell them it's asur, that's not what you did was not correct. Inhu savor, what were they thinking? Maidaka asar tanakama kashari Rabbi Dosa. We had the statement of Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa says you're allowed to be mateh, michalon lechalon, plus, maybe according to that chayim, even to be modeh, you can walk it. Whose statement is Rabbi Dosa referring to? There are two possibilities. It's either Rabbi Yehuda or the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda was talking about a sulam shel aliyah. Tanakhama was talking about a sulam shel shovach. So if Rabbi Dosa is referencing Rabbi Yehuda, that means Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to move a sulam shel aliyah. Along comes Rabbi Dosa and says, okay, you can't move it physically. You can't lift it up and move it. But what you can do is matehu. You can shift it in place. Or you can be possibly, according to the Chirim, you can walk the ladder on the ground. But he's referencing back to Rabbi Yehuda, that means he was speaking about a sulam shel aliyah. So if it's referencing back to Rabbi Yehuda, that means Rabbi Yehuda says, no, sulam shel aliyah. Rabbi Dosa says, yo, yes, with sulam shel aliyah, you can bounce it around, you can't actually lift it off the ground, but you can move it. So that's what they thought. And therefore, when someone came to them with sulam shel aliyah and said, can we even mateit? They said, yes. And Rabbi Chiya says, you're wrong. Lohi, why? My dekashari tanakama kasei Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa is actually the chumra, not the kula. Rabbi Dosa, he's referencing back to the Tanakhama who says you can move a sulam shel shovach. Then Rabbi Dosa says, no, you can't. You cannot move a sulam shel shovach. You should only be matet. You can only tilt it or slide, you know, walk it around according to the achirim. So it really depends on who Rabbi Dosa is modifying. If Rabbi Dosa is modifying Rabbi Yehuda, you come out that Rabbi Dosa is the Kula. And that's what B'nai Rabbi Chiya thought. If you think Rabbi Dosa is modifying the Tanakhama, then he's the Chumra. He's saying, whatever the Tanakhama says is Mutar, I say is Asur. I only am Matir, a much smaller subset, which is this ability to tilt it, but not to physically move the ladder. So that's how Rabbi Chiya passes on Rabbi Dosa. And now, Tosafot asks on that, he says, it sounds like from this, that we pass them like Rabbi Dosa, and what do you do with the Gemara in Eruvin, which says, Metaltalim et asulam. You're allowed to carry on a sulam. According to Rabbi Dosa, you're not allowed to carry around any sulam, according to Rabbi Chiya. You can't carry around a sulam shel shovach, you can't carry on a sulam shel aliyah. You can't carry a sulam at all. So how come we hear Paschal like Rabbi Dosa, and yet the Gemara in Eruvin says, Metaltalim et asulam. You can carry around the sulam without any questions. So Yesh Lamar, Dishnei Minei Sulam Otein. Tosfos gives one answer, which is there are two types of ladders. There's a big ladder and a small ladder. So over there in the Gemara in Eruvin, it's talking about the smaller size ladder. That smaller size ladder, you're allowed to move around and carry around. Here we're talking about a very large ladder, and therefore we have a problem. That's why Rabbi Dosa says you can tilt it, but you cannot lift it. That's one answer. But then the second answer is Rabbi Avraham Miburgol says that it's a difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov. The difference is that on Shabbat, you're allowed to move the ladders. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to move the ladders. Counterintuitive, but the reason is because on Yom Tov, when you carry the ladder, you can carry it in your house, and then you can carry it out into the Shutarbim. There's no restriction on carrying. So we're afraid that if you carry the ladder within your house, you're also going to end up carrying it out in the Shutarbim. And by doing so, now you're exposing yourself to the problem of Maradayin, that people think you're going to fix your roof or do something impermissible on Yom Tov. On the other hand, on Shabbat, where you can't leave your house with a ladder, nobody's ever going to come to a Maradayin that's going to fix your roof. Because you can't get the ladder to the place where you need it in order to fix the roof, because you can't take the ladder out into the Shutarbim to get onto your roof. So he says the difference is between Shabbat and Yom Tov. Over here we're talking about a Yom Tov, then it's a sur, like Rabbi Yedosa. There they're talking about Shabbat. There it's mutar, because the Marat Ayin aspect doesn't apply, because you can't carry the ladder out to the Shutarbim. We'll come out the lochas that were choshesh for both of these items, both of these answers in Tosafot, which means that if you want to move a ladder on Shabbat, we only permit you to move a ladder that is on the smaller size, and only on Shabbat, which means only inside the house, on Shabbat. So that's why maybe a step stool within the house should be no problem. That's a small ladder, something that you don't use to fix the roof, so that would be obvious, never use it. But even maybe a smaller, like a 4 or 5 step ladder inside the house, as long as it's on the smaller size, it's not the type that's used to fix the roof, then maybe on Shabbat, inside the house, you could move it around if you need to get something from a cupboard up above. Because that ladder is not, again, be able to take it out into a Shutar Abim. It's not a ladder that's usually used for fixing roofs. Those two items make it mutar in order for you to move it within the house. Right now we move on. V'moteu michalon lechalon. This is the latter half of the Mishnah we saw before, that you're allowed to tilt it from window to window. Alma, from this you would conclude, gabe simchat Yom Tov. When it comes to Yom Tov and enhancing the simcha of Yom Tov, Beit Shammai is the chumrah, Beit Hillel is the kula, based on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says Beit Hillel permits you to move the ladder from dovecote to dovecote, whereas Beit Shammai says you may not move it from dovecote to dovecote. Why? Here, Beit Shammai is the chumrah, and Beit Hillel is the kula. Viramini, I'm going to ask you from another Tanaic work, the first Mishnah in the Masechta. The first Mishnah in Masechta is a list of items where Beit Shammai is the Kula, and Beit Hillel is the Chumrah. And some of those items dealt with Simchat Yom Tov, including Hashachet Chayav Ha'ov B'Yom Tov, Beit Shammai Momim Yachpor B'Deker V'Yechaseh. You shecht it, you put the spade into the ground, and you cover it. You're not allowed to do that unless you have dirt ready to do the Kisui Adam. If you don't have dirt ready to do the Kisui Adam, we do not permit you to do it. That means, Beit Hillel is the Chumrah, the Gabe Simchat Yom Tov. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mukhlefet Hashita. You have to flip their positions. Now Rashi says, what does it mean, flip their positions? It means keep the first Mishnah and the Masechta intact. Flip this Mishnah over here. This Mishnah of Shovach should read not Beit Shammai Usrim, but rather Beit Hillel Osrim, and therefore Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai would be consistent now. Beit Hillel will be the Chumrah and say you cannot move the ladder from Shovach to Shovach, whereas Beit Shammai will be the Kula. That'll match their opinions in the first Mishnah. That's the way Rashi reads it. Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that's true? That's only true when you have a spade already inserted in the ground. So therefore, the problem is not a problem of Simchat Yom Tov, the problem is a problem of Mukseh. So since the problem of muksa, they can stick the decker, you put the spade in the ground, you've taken care of your problem of muksa. V'hecha deleka decker na'utzlo, like in the case here, where you don't have something that indicates that you're taking away the muksa or shame muksa here, then they won't permit you to move the ladder, because it's muksa. So now Rashi explains over here, aval hecha deleka decker na'utz, when there's no spade inserted in the ground, de'ika tzad remes chafira. So it still looks like you're digging a little bit, lo sharu. Even if it's in soft earth, which is as if it was dug out already. So over here you have a problem, which is the possibility that it looks like you're going to go to it, to your roof, or do something that was wrong. And therefore, it's the equivalent of having a case where there's no spade in the ground. Now, even though Rashi points out that putting the spade in the ground has no difference, you're allowed to pick up the spade and dig into the ground because there's no chafira. We already established that before. But Rashi says here is that there's a remez chafira. Since there is some sort of chafira involved over here, A chavira being looks like you're digging. Even though you're not really digging, it looks like or it has a tzad chavira. We would not permit that on Yom Tov. Elim ken, you have dekar na'utz. Unless the spade is already in the ground beforehand. But if the spade's not in the ground beforehand, then we have this little problem. And obviously that's the problem that Beit Hillel had before. Why are they not matir because of Simcha Yom Tov? And I'm matir because of Simcha Yom Tov in the first Mishnah, because the dekar na'utz, even when it's there, there's still a little side of chafira here. And therefore Beit Hillel says that we're not going to allow, because there's no hochacha that whatever you're doing is permitted or is for Simchat Yom Tov. Here, where it's a ladder of the Shovach, therefore it's clear why you're carrying the ladder around, so we don't have any problem. But over there, we would not permit it, because there there's a different problem, which is that you're digging into the ground, you might be dealing with muksa. So Rashi says the reason that Beit Hillel will oser over there is Mishum Ketisha. We're afraid that you're going to crumble it up, there's a Gezeirah Derabanan, and that there are other Isurim that are involved here that we don't want you to engage in. Ella, Ikasha Akasha. If you want to ask a question on this Mishnah here, I'll tell you where you should ask it from. From the Mishnah upcoming on Daf Yud, tomorrow's Daf. Bechmai Omrim, Lo Yito. Now let it take a dove out of the dove coat, Elim Kain, Ni'ana, Mi Bo'od Yom. Unless you already picked it up before Yom Tov. If you picked it up before Yom Tov to designate it, then it's okay. Tilo Omrim Omeid, Vomer, Ze, Vize, Ani Notel. You can just stand there and say, I'm going to take that one, that one, that one. And that's enough to get rid of the problem, Muksa. So Beit Shammai is machmir, you have to actually lift them up, whereas Beit Hillel says, just haul them out, and you're fine. And that's a stira to our first Mishnah again, which is a shochet chayav ofi yom tov. Ofi yom tov, what about the first Mishnah where Beit Hillel is the chomer and Beit Shammai is the kula? Rabbi Yochanan Muklev Teshita, flip the Mishnah. Again, Rashi reads, flip the Mishnah on Yud, flip it to match the first Mishnah. And where it says, Vidoma lohi, who says you have to do that? Adkan lo kamer Beit Shammai lehechadika dekanaotz. The whole heter over there is because you have a spade in the ground. Maybe over here, where there is no spade in the ground, then we're not going to let you go ahead and do it lekula, and therefore we're going to insist, like Beit Shammai says, you're going to have to lift them up. So inami, adkan lo kamer Beit Hillel. Right, that Beit Hillel doesn't say it. Halcha elokim to muksehu, because it's mukse, vomeid, vomer. Zivizeh, ani notel sagi. Since over here the muksa problem, you can just say, I'm taking that one, that one, that one, gets rid of the muksa. Of a hot tom low. Over there, there's more serious issues by the digging up the ground. It's problems of chafira, the problems of tisha, there are all sorts of other problems that arise that are not just muksa problems that you can deal with by simply saying, oh, I'm taking from here. Those are real malacha problems, or if they're not real malacha, they're problems possibly midrabanan. And those problems cannot just be overcome by Simchat Yom Tov or by other dispensations. Whereas muksa, the way to overcome it is simply to designate it. And by saying that this is going to be used, that's okay. Well, there, you have to, those birds are for production, meaning that the birds in the dove coat, on an everyday basis, you're not going to eat from them. You want them there because you want them to mate and produce more and more and more. So you really have, you're there for them to be mating, not for them to be eaten. You have to pull them out of the dove coat in a sense to say, I'm going to eat this one because he's no longer having him being mating. So it is the equivalent of Gadel Beitzim. Right? It's not for the eggs, but it's for the fact that they will reproduce. So then only when you use it for meat. Now, Fred, your question, Rabbeinu Tam takes up your issue, says, I don't understand. We're going to go through, we're not going to do it now, we'll go tomorrow to the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to bring Mishnah after Mishnah of the Mishnah, which seems to say the opposite of our first Mishnah on the Masechta. And every time, Muklevet HaShita, Muklevet HaShita, and that's going to be the conclusion of the Gemara. So Muklevet HaShita. So according to Rashi, you're going to flip a whole bunch of Mishnayot just to conform with the first Mishnah on the Masechta. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam says, much simpler way to read this is to say, flip the first Mishnah, then we don't have to play around with all the other Mishnayot. All the other Mishnayot, we're trying to come up with these ways to explain them. Here, you won't have to do that. You just simply say, all the other Mishnayot are fine, and the first Mishnah is the problem. And that's what exactly what Rabbeinu Tam says. That's when we flip to Beit Hillel, Savre, Yachbor, Bedek, Bichaseh, Hashtanecha, Kol. Then everything works out smoothly. You flip one Mishnah, and you get everything else to fall into line. Then Rabbeinu Tam says something other interesting. I don't understand why everybody gets all this dirt or ashes ready before Yom Tov to do Kisei Adam. I remember when I was a little kid, I don't remember them preparing anything beforehand when I was a kid. So what's going on over here? Ach ata, they made a mistake. The Sovrim, the Muklefet, lo kaya shochet. They think Muklevet HaShita is on all the other Mishnayot, not the first Mishnah, like Rashi. And therefore, they say that Beit Hillel says you're not allowed to shech on Yom Tov unless you have stuff ready. Beit Hillel, the Chumra. Therefore, they require Chachana. But according to me, who says that they flipped the first Mishnah, then Beit Hillel says, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. Then Tosfot says, I don't understand the Rabbeinu Tam, because even according to Beit Shammai, in our Mishnah, who says that it's mutar to shech, that you could use the dirt, they still require that you have Dekar Na'otz. They still require that there's a spade in the ground. They still require Chachana, especially according to the qualification of Rabbi Yehuda, who we saw yesterday, who says, Amar Rabbi Zikr, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, who sheesh lo Dekar Na'otz mi bo'od yom. That's even according to Beit Shammai. The Dekar Na'otz is to be in there even according to Beit Shammai. That means that even Beit Shammai agrees that you need something in the ground in order to utilize. You need Hachana, even according to Beit Shammai. That's the case, that even if you flip the positions and Beit Hillel becomes that position, you still need Hachana. And therefore, Tosfot argues on Rabbeinu Tam and says that even if we flip the first Mishnah, you'll still require Hachana to have it prepared. The only problem with the Rabbeinu Tam's Shita, and probably what dissuade Rashi from doing this, is that the Mishnayot and Ediot, there's a Perek in Ediot, which brings all the cases where Beit Shammai is the Kula and Beit Hillel is the Chumra. One of those cases is our Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the Masechta. So why is the Mishnah in Ediot bringing that if in the end you're going to muklevet Ashita and the Gemara flips that position? It's not really true. So Tosfot gives the answer, which is they bring it like the Mishnah is written. Based on before we muklevet Ashita, the Mishnah is written that Beit Shammai is the Kula. So the Mishnah in Ediot brings it just as it's written, not based on the conclusion of the Gemara that it's backwards. So that's how Tosafot answers that problem, but that is one serious issue for the Rabbeinu Tam Shita, which obviously is a little easier to flip one Mishnah than to flip 10 Mishnayot in order to get to your answer. One other point before we finish up here is, Tosafot here quotes that, Vim Tomar, Amai lo parach mi Beitza Shenolda. Why doesn't our Gemara ask from the Mishnah Beitza Shenolda? Beitza Shenolda is also a case where we're talking about Simchat Yom Tov, and Simchat Yom Tov, where Rabbi Shammai says go, and Beit Hillel says that it doesn't work. So the answers, Perish Akuntris, Mishum Degavi, Beitza Lo Shach Simcha, Shem Ba Simchat Yom Tov. The egg has nothing to do with Simchat Yom Tov, Hokach. Mashem Mitirim, Beit Shammai, Enu Mitam Delet Lo Achono, Mitam Delo Domi, the Perot and Ashtim, and Mashkim Shazavu. The reason that they're Matir, the egg, has nothing to do with Simchat Yom Tov. The reason that Beit Shammai is because they either don't subscribe to Hachono Derabba, or they don't believe in the gzeira of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yitzchak, that the egg is a problem like fruits, either they're squeezing them or falling off the tree. And that's why they disagree. They don't disagree because of Simchat Yom Tov. Machloket there does not revolve around Simchat Yom Tov, because just a little egg is not going to make or break Simchat Yom Tov. Basar, shechting an animal, that could make or break Simchat Yom Tov. An egg, that's not the issue. The issue is simply whether there is a gzeira or not a gzeira, whether it's Hachana Derabba or no Hachana Derabba. And that's why our Gemara never brings that part of our Mishnah as a proof that Beit Shammai is the Kula by Simchat Yom Tov and Beit Hillel is the Chumra. Okay, we'll stop over here.